The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Thank you for changing the world.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about discipleship, and I tell you, this is powerful. I have really been blessed by this, and this is now into my fourth week of teaching on the subject of discipleship. And I tell you, this answers so many questions. If people would be disciples, that means they would be people who had systematically learned the principles of God. They could operate in them in their life, and I guarantee it would make a difference in the results that you're getting. There are many of you who have heard that God wants you well, but you haven't been discipled in healing. You don't know how to do it. And so you are praying, but there's frustration. And if you don't see the miracle come to pass, then many times there is anger and bitterness, like God failed you. It was God's will, but you prayed, and why didn't this happen? There are right and wrong ways of praying and believing and receiving. And many times people are just not receiving because they aren't going about it the right way. They may be praying for the right thing, but they haven't been discipled and they don't know how to receive from God. I'll tell you, that's powerful. You know, as a matter of fact, here's what I'd like to do today. Today is going to be my last day to offer this teaching that I've been doing from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to continue to teach on discipleship. But let me just illustrate what I've been talking about, because there is a story about a little girl in England named Hannah Terades. And we have this on our Healing Journeys DVD. There's five testimonies on there. But Hannah's parents, Ashley and Carly Terades, they were in a situation where they were watching their daughter die. The doctors had given her up for dead. And basically, they were at their wit's end. And they got a tape, just one little tape, about where I was talking about how God is a good God and God wants us well. Talking about the power and the authority that we have in our spirit. And I mean, it just lit a fire on the inside of them. They went on my website, and because we have hundreds of my teachings available for 2 weeks, I think it was, they just absorbed this teaching. And you know what that was? It was discipleship. It wasn't the perfect way of doing it. They weren't doing it directly under me. They weren't doing it with somebody that they could interact with. But nonetheless, they were renewing their mind with the Word of God. And because of that, they came to a level to where they needed me to pray for their daughter. And God worked it out. But it was really that faith that had been built on the inside of them. You know, I pray with lots of people. And I see people heal. I believe that the power of God heals them. Matter of fact, I just had one woman come up to me, and she had multiple sclerosis. I mean, severe. Couldn't even get around. I prayed with her, and every symptom left. She got up and began to start walking. And yet, when I was just in Johnson City, Tennessee, last week, this woman came up to me and said every one of those symptoms came back on her. Now, see, I believe that she was healed. But she didn't have the maturity to be able to stand. The Terades, Ashley and Carly, they had in 2 weeks just saturated themselves in the Word to such a degree that when they started seeing the sickness and disease come back into their daughter Hannah, they were able to stand and believe. And because of that, today Hannah is a healthy, I mean full of life, little girl. And Ashley and Carly have continued on to the degree that they have graduated from our Bible school. And they're from the UK, but they actually are now here in the U.S. working in our third year program here at the Caris Bible College. And I tell you, they are a powerful couple. So anyway, this is a great testimony, but I just want you to look for this to see how that the truth that they had learned made the difference. Hannah got healed, but she could have lost it. Today, we could have been talking about her in the past tense, She would have already been dead if it hadn't have been for them being discipled. Watch this, and then I'll come back and conclude today's program.
Right from day one, we knew that Hannah was going to be special. She was a child that surprised us right from her conception.
I suppose it really started when we realised Hannah was ill, and we realised she was seriously ill.
From the day of her birth, Hannah experienced severe stomach pain. It impaired her appetite, her physical growth, and her energy level, not to mention the strain it put on the entire family just to care for her. In the first 36 months of her life, she made more than 60 visits to doctors and hospitals. By the age of 3 and a half, she only weighed as much as a 9-month-old baby. Still, no doctor could determine what was actually wrong with her.
She'd be constantly waking at night time. She wouldn't settle, and then when she did go to sleep, she'd be waking up just screwing her legs up in pain.
And then when it came to weaning her, she couldn't swallow lumps at all. So we'd have to mash her food down, and this was even when she was like 3 years old.
Finally, she was referred to the Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital in London. Using every resource available, the doctors were finally able to establish a diagnosis. Hannah had a rare disorder called eosinophilic enteropathy.
Now basically, that has two sides to it. That has, on one hand, it's an allergic type reaction. And then on the other hand, she had another part of the disease, which was autoimmune based. So her immune system would go into overdrive. Whenever she ate something, it would go into overdrive, thinking it was like some sort of foreign invader and attack it.
She started deteriorating. She started losing weight, and her hair was getting brittle, and her skin started going like translucent, and she lost energy. She was toilet trained, and she lost that because she just lost so much weight, and she couldn't really play properly. She didn't have much energy.
After trying every possible treatment, the doctors offered one last resort. They would surgically implant a feeding tube into Hannah's stomach so that she could receive nutrition through a diet of pure amino acids.
This is a special medical formula. It's very, very expensive. It's about £90 a tin at the time when Hannah was using it. This was the pump that would pump the formula through the tube and into her stomach. The pump would go, it would be strapped into these straps here, and then a different shape bag would be slotted in here and all strapped in securely.
So when we first took her home, it was starting to work. But then, about 2 days later, I think we took her home on the Friday, by the Sunday, she was vomiting again, and she was reacting to it, and she was going downhill again, and it was clear that it wasn't working.
When the feeding tube failed, the Terades family made a desperate trip to the London hospital. On the way, they stopped at Carly's parents' house, asking for ministry tapes to listen to during the long trip. That's when an old teaching tape by Andrew Womack was discovered in a utility drawer. This tape had been discarded for more than a decade, waiting for its moment of destiny.
And when we listened to that tape, it was like all these scriptures just opened up to us. By his stripes you were healed. You know, he's the Lord. He heals all our diseases and redeems us from the curse. All these things. Sickness was a curse that we'd been redeemed from. All these truths just came flooding out, and it's like that one tape just opened the whole world up to us.
Andrew's teaching, he was the only man I'd heard who was confident that God wanted my daughter healed. So I wondered if I could meet him. So I went on the internet, and I looked on his schedule, and it had one conference in the UK, because it's an American ministry, obviously. There's one conference in the UK, so I looked it up. It said the 16th of March.
The conference was the next day, and, I mean, that blows me away, that... That's just God is so good.
So we put her straight in the car. We drove up to Walsall where the conference was.
When we first got there, it was a real struggle because Hannah was particularly sick, and we were staying in a motel and travelling to the conference every day for the sessions. And we put the boys into the children's ministry. But Hannah was, she was just too sick. She would just lay at our feet in the conference on the floor, and she had a little DVD player with headphones.
She was in so much pain. She wouldn't stop screaming. She wouldn't stop crying. We couldn't comfort her. She was rolling around on the floor in pain.
We went in the creche room to get away from the auditorium to be a bit quieter, and just the room cleared within seconds of all these sleeping babies. I don't know what they must have thought.
this was the last day now. She hadn't been prayed for. She was getting worse. And I was getting mixed up emotions, and part of me was feeling just despair, and I was feeling at the end of myself, if you like, with this.
That was probably the first time I really cried. My emotion had got my hopes built to such a crescendo that was like the climax, and then to feel like that's going to be snatched away, that we're going to go home and our daughter's going to die.
And I was thinking, if this doesn't work, then, you know, this was my last resort, if you like.
We've come so far with such high hopes. To miss it. Are we going to go home empty-handed?
On the final day of the Charis Bible College Conference, Andrew and Jamie came into the nursery room to pray for Hannah, who'd fallen asleep from exhaustion.
So, Father, Jamie and I just agree, and we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, Hannah has already been healed.
Like I said, he prayed for her. Very simple prayer. He just told the disease to go in Jesus' name. Told her body to be restored in Jesus' name.
And then we were kind of left with a bit of a dilemma. Like, what do we do now? She was asleep in the buggy at that time. So she was asleep throughout him praying for her.
Now, when she woke up, the first thing we said to her when she woke up was, Jesus has healed you. And she, as soon as she heard that, she smiled. She said, I want to eat.
So we ended up at this KFC.
We bought some chicken, and she sat there, took bites of the chicken, swallowed it, took more bites, swallowed it, ate some fries, swallowed it, ate some more, swallowed it. And we was all just looking at her in amazement, thinking, wow, she's never swallowed food like this before, ever.
Every food group possible that could cause any sort of reaction, we tested in that first couple of hours, I think.
No reaction, no problem. We left the tube off, no problem at all. We went back to the conference because there was one more meeting in the evening.
We'd heard this little cough and we're kind of like, oh no, what's going to happen next?
For the first time, she just started to choke, as if she was going to throw everything up and be sick, like she would have done sometimes in the past.
The boys were so used to her being sick, when they heard that little cough, they'd run away, sick on me, mummy, sick on me, and just leg it, because they thought they were going to get covered in puke.
She just started to choke, and straight away I remembered the teaching, you know, don't beg God to stop it, just command. And I said, choking, stop in Jesus' name. She stopped choking, and that was that.
And then it happened again in the car on the way home. That night, it happened again. And again, Ashley spoke over her, and she was perfectly right as rain, instantaneously. But I know that if we'd hadn't have had that grounding, if we'd hadn't had that teaching in our heart, we wouldn't have known what to do. And so when the symptoms came back, we would have just thought, oh, too good to be true, you know. And before you know it, full blown manifestation of disease would have been upon her. We weren't going to let Satan rob her of her healing. He might try, but he wasn't going to win.
And from that day, she's never had any medication. She's never had any formula food through a tube. She's never had any doctor's treatment.
But when we went back to the hospital to have the tube taken out, they did all sorts of examinations and blood tests and things. And the doctor looked at Hannah, looked at these test results, and just physically stepped back and looked at her. And she said, you're perfect. There's nothing wrong with you.
And Hannah just smiled at the doctors and said, I know I'm perfect. So they just said she was perfect then, which was great. And they gave a general anaesthetic, they removed the tube, and she came to and she's absolutely fine. And she's been fine since.
We hope that you've been encouraged by the story of Hannah's miracle. It certainly changed everyone in the Terades family. After Hannah's healing, Ashley and Carly sold their home and moved to Walsall, England to become part of Charis Bible College. The next year, grandparents from both sides of the family sold homes and businesses to do the same. Today, all of them attend CBC, where they can absorb more of the teaching that made all of the difference for Hannah. And now, here's Andrew.
Man, isn't that a powerful story? And you know, this is just an abbreviated version of the complete testimony we have of Hannah. It actually would take, I think, 25 or 26 minutes, and we would have had to split that over 2 days. If you would like to see the entire testimony, you can go to our website, and they will have that highlighted as today's feature, and you can see the whole testimony where the grandparents come in and talk about it. And I tell you, that is just one powerful story. But the point I wanted you to see is that Ashley and Carly, see, had renewed their mind. And they believed, and I mean Hannah ate food, solid food, for the first time in her 3.5 years of life. It was miraculous. But within an hour or two, she started to choke and gag. And they could have easily have just said, oh, it was too good to be true. Oh, we missed it. It's not going to work. They could have caved. But see, because they had been learning the word, they knew their authority and they stood and they commanded that to stop. And I think if I remember the story correctly, there's actually two times in the next 24 hours that they had to rebuke and command Hannah's body to get in line with what they believed. And I believe that this happens so many times that people come and they receive prayer and they get prayer. But then they go out and the devil comes back and they just cave in because they haven't been discipled. You know, I tell people all of the time, especially those that have some kind of a pain in their body. I can remember that just last week I must have prayed with 50 to 100 people who had pain in their body. I mean, arthritis or vertebrae problems or, you know, just anything causes pain. And I prayed with them and boom, the pain instantly left. And I'd have these people move around and that there was no pain in their body. But then I would tell every one of them, I said, now, if you get another pain, that does not mean you weren't healed or that you lost your healing. And see, that's immediately what most people think is, oh, it wasn't true. I never was really healed. Or they'll think, oh, I've lost my healing and they'll just invite this back in. I said, no, it's not like that. It's Satan knows that I believe. And when I command pain to leave, Satan leaves because he knows I believe it. But he's not sure that you believe it. And so Satan will come back and knock at the door. The devil can put a pain on you. I have pains come against me. I've had a lot of weird things happen in my body. But when it happens, instead of thinking, oh, what's wrong with me? And instead of letting fear in, I stand and take my authority and command my body to respond. And I resist it. The Bible says in James 4:7, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And so I resist it. And I told him, I said, look, Satan can put a pain on your body. The devil can hit you with some feeling or symptom, but that doesn't mean that you've lost your healing or that you never were healed. It's just like a knock on the door. And when you hear the devil knock, when you feel a pain, it depends on how you respond. If you say, oh, I wasn't healed. Oh, I've lost my healing. You just opened up the door and allowed that sickness or disease to come back in. And according to Jesus' teaching, it'll come back in 7 times worse. And see, I believe that this happens a lot. I'll have people line up at my meetings. And, you know, honestly, I'm just confessing to you that this is something that I struggle with. Because if I had time, if you were to come to me personally, and if I was to sit down and teach you for an hour and then pray with you, most people would manifest an instant healing. But even then, you need more teaching than just that. Sickness, when it's been in your body for a long time, it tends to get in your mind. It gets in your emotions. And getting that sickness out of your body is relatively easy. But to get it out of your emotions, out of your personality is hard. That takes discipleship. And really, the best way is to disciple people. But at my meetings, hundreds of people will line up. And I wouldn't have time for more than 1 or 2 maximum, and the others would just have to be turned away. And so because of that, I go ahead and I just minister to people very briefly. I pray with them and I let them go, knowing that many of them, when the devil knocks at the door and tries to get back in, they aren't disciples. They aren't going to know how to stand. And I know that there's going to be problems. I know that many of them are going to fall away and not be able to maintain. But it's hard for me to tell which ones those are. I remember one time going to a meeting and there was a woman who had cancer, who was in a wheelchair, was so messed up on drugs. I mean, she was in the last stages of cancer. The doctor said she couldn't live over a week or so. And I mean, she was just out of it. And she was so doped up. She was sitting there falling asleep, drool falling out of her mouth. She was in the last stages of death. Her and her family had seen me on television 1 week before this meeting. 1 week. How much discipleship can you get in 1 week's worth of television? But it had excited them, so they came to this meeting. The woman was so sick, she couldn't come down to the main meeting. They called. I went up to her hotel room. I prayed with her. And she, again, was so doped up that honestly, I couldn't even talk to her. I talked to her family a little bit. And as we left the room, I started to tell the man that was with me. I started to say, she'll die. Because I just felt like it was too little too late. She didn't know the word. They didn't understand healing. This woman wasn't even really conscious so that I could talk to her. But I've learned that you just don't speak something like that unless you're directly inspired by God. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And because of that, I just kept my mouth shut and didn't say anything. And did you know it was only 2 or 3 months later that that woman came to another gospel truth seminar that I was having, and she ran down the aisle and jumped up on the platform. And she says, do you remember me? And I said, no, because she didn't even look like the same person. And she described to me who she was. And I was shocked because I didn't think that she was going to be able to reach out and take this healing. So the reason I bring that up is to say that, you know what, it surprises me sometimes, the people that receive. So because of that, rather than me just say, well, you'll never live, you haven't been discipled, you don't know what's going on, I'll go ahead and pray with people and minister to them the best I can, but knowing that many of them just don't have the foundation to be able to receive it, but I'll go ahead and pray because it surprises me sometimes, the people who do receive. It shocks me. So I go ahead and pray with people, but I guarantee you it's not the way that really God would want it to do. I don't have a gift of healing or the gifts of healing. As far as I know, I don't have that. I'm just praying for people as a believer. All things are possible to him that believe. And because of that, I don't just wave my hand over a crowd or something like that or just go down and touch them, you know, and see things happen. I minister to people. I pray with them. I try to encourage them because it really is a prayer of agreement. I have to get this person into a position of faith. And many times I just doubt that they really have faith, that they are operating in it. But it's hard for me to tell. If I know for sure that they aren't, I'll stop and do whatever. But sometimes I just pray with people. So I'm saying all of this to say that I find myself in a situation that I'd rather the situation be different. I'd rather disciple people. I'd rather teach people about healing. And then after they've sat under the ministry of healing for a while, then have them come and let me pray with them. And man, I believe we would see many, multiple times greater results. But I tell you, people come and they just want prayer and they're desperate and there's 100 people lined up and I pray with them. But you know what? That's not discipleship. This is basically how the body of Christ has learned to receive from God, is they just go to somebody with a special anointing and they get healings. But even in those special meetings, Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, Benny Hinn's meetings, did you know they only see a very small percentage of the people healed? There may be some miraculous healings and praise God for them, but it's just a very small percentage. And then only a small percentage. Catherine Kuhlman said only 5 to 10% of the people who got healed in her meetings were able to retain it. Why does all this happen? Because of a lack of discipleship. I tell you, this is powerful. Now, I hope that testimony of Hannah Terades inspired you to get hold of the truth. We're out of time today, but if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can receive all of these materials that you've seen on our program today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Discipleship Evangelism is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD series when you contact us. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the discipleship package. This package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the Discipling Through Galatians book, the Discipling Through Romans book, and the complete discipleship evangelism course. These tools have been designed so that anyone, anywhere, at any time can reach an unbeliever, disciple a new believer, or grow with others in the Lord. The entire package has a catalog value of $125. But Andrew considers these resources so important, he'd like to get them to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering this package to you for a gift of just $95 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD series when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled, Are You Listening to the Critics? Free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, Effortless Change, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. On today's program, Andrew mentioned the healing testimony of Hannah Terades. To see more about this story, go to our website at www.awmi.net and click on Today's TV News feature. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th and at Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona on Sunday, January 9th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance January 20th through the 22nd and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was born with congenital heart disease. The doctors gave up hope on recovery for me. I was turning the TV on one night while I was up taking medication, and there was Andrew teaching on God's kind of love. And he was talking right to me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. The Lord says that there's really only two options. There's life or death, blessing or cursing. Sometimes we think that there's all these other options, but the truth is, really, every decision you make is either moving you closer to God, which is life and blessing, or it's moving you away from God, which is towards death and cursing. And the good news is God gave you that choice.
Well, after listening to Andrew's teachings, I studied the Word night and day, and God spoke to me, and He told me all was healed, all was well, even while I felt miserable, and I just left that identity. I left that sickness, and I'm healed.